today hopefully we're going to finish the Bob Lee down to the beginning of the Tom Cooper figure. And then if we don't finish or whatever we, or if we do finish either way, we'll finish, if we don't finish, we'll finish the little bit tomorrow. And then I would like to do a Yerushalmi, which I'm going to send out to you. It's a Yerushalmi on the next sugya. And it's probably going to take a couple of days to get through it. And then maybe, I don't think we'll get back to the Bob Lee before Yom Tov. Okay. So anyway, one general comment, and you're going to see it, particularly do this Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi is done already. And I thank Shlomo for asking you the question. Most of the ways, when we've gotten to the end of the project, half an hour. I'm going to put the question out there, but I'm not going to give you the answer yet. Shlomo wanted to know why was no one bothered by the problem of Beta, the Shishim Viachad, or Shishim Shtayim in the Gemara. The Rishonim asked the question. But no one, the Gemara itself does not ask the question. And to put it further, I think one of the Rishonim might have pointed this out, I don't remember who, maybe more than one did. There is seemingly a theorem between the Gemara here and Rav Nachman earlier. What did Rav Nachman say earlier about Basin, Rav Beza? Basin the Shishim, the Ein Basin in a Minyan. Now, he says Chal the Shishim, Chal in a Minyan, and give the Shishim the Ein gives in a Minyan. The assumption at the time was, simple reading was, Shishim, Chal meant 59 plus the plus one, and that's how we got him. And that Din meant 60 plus 1, and that is how we talk to him in fact. And that Basin meant 60 plus 1, and that is in fact not how we talk. The question is, why does the Gemara not present the theorem between the two things? Okay. Leave those two questions there. Let's read the Gemara, and then come back. I want to point out, and the answer to the question lies in a broader methodological question of how the figures were put together. Those of you who have been with me for a long time, the light bulb should have already gone off as to what's going on. Because I'm sure in the course of at least a few years, you've seen this a couple of times. If you haven't studied Yerushalmi extensively, thought about the connection, then there's no reason why you should necessarily realize the answer. Okay, so let's get started. Did we start about it last time or not? I don't think so. Did we in my day Dalma? Okay. So now we'll start with the eighth day on top. Okay, I don't think we read that. Am I correct on that too?
We did look at that. But we looked at the piece.
We looked at the Tosafot. So I don't think we presented the Bavli on it. So let's start with the eighth day. So the Gemara has made in Ukimta, I would appear by you in Ukimta, that when we say that when you cook eggs in water with other eggs, that an egg can offer something, it's only when it's a Beta Efroa, a Beta which has a chick growing within it. Because then, the flesh, the meat, you know, has real flavor. And the Balei Tosafot add that even if you find blood in it, because that perhaps would be the beginning of an Efroa, I'm not quite sure why that should be the case, because the fact that there's blood there means it will eventually turn into a broth, but right now, if all you have is a tiny bit of blood there, it's not clear that's going to have enough to flavor that egg. Okay, anyway, not really our concern right now. So now the Gemara says, eighth day. It's like the... A volunteer who would like to read. Okay, how about someone who doesn't always volunteer? How about someone who doesn't commonly volunteer? Alex, you commonly volunteer also. If you want to... Okay, go ahead. Okay, so the Tosafot and Truma Sufi event says that if you have kosher eggs, which you are sholeik, you, what is sholeik? Sholeik actually has two meanings. What's that? Yeah, you know, the word sholeik, the Yerushalmi, which you're not going to look part, the beginning of the Yerushalmi, which you're not going to look at enough here, being a Yerushalmi points out that the term sholeik is often used as a change of the official. In general, sholeik seems to mean two different things, and we already sort of encountered this. I don't know if all you saw that you found me in Shulah. On the one hand, Sholeik, what is one meaning of Sholeik? What's the difference between being Sholeik and being Levasho?
you know, the instant of being boiling and just taking like pre-boil for liquid and putting those two
digits. Interesting distinction. I don't know if anybody makes that. You make it, that sounds like a little about myself, you know, about a HCF on the stuff, it takes a little stuff like this. But I don't think anybody distinguishes that way. Shell lakes, in some context, seems to mean to overcook. To really cooking stuff. On the other hand, in one of the contexts that you show me, one of the Prussian points is that shell lake seems to mean very lightly cooked, not cooked so much. Okay, for the moment, we'll take a compromise between the two. She does almost so assume it means average cooking. Okay, just like Fisher. All right, so the basin Prussian schlock and the basin mayo, so the mishnah, the rice, the fesh, the fesh, the fesh, the fesh, the. So what do you see from that? What do you see from that? Why is that a question? Okay, nice. No, nobody wants to make an impression for success yet. Well, it doesn't say basic pepperella, and it sounds like it's awesome, right? I have an ostrich egg, and I have a chicken egg, and I cook them together, and you should go without the tom. It's awesome. Okay, so fine.
Is that a chiddush though?
What do you mean?
They can swim in the same time.
But the problem is, the problem is that Rabbi just said it's no one to debate the Torah. Non-kosher. Torah and Tamei. Yeah, Tamei means non-kosher. Okay? Go ahead. Do the Babli respond? No. Hachanami means here too we make the Ukimta, the base of Sefarach. We make the Ukimta, the base of Shach and Mason's nails. A base of Tamei means a base of Sefarach. So the base of Sefarach, you're not allowed to eat. The only way you can eat a base of Sefarach is here. No, you can't if you let it grow and hatch. Well, then you're not eating the basis of umbrella. That's the point.
I think if you
crack open an egg and the chick can live, then that means, you know, it's affecting born early. Okay. So the assumption, I assume basis of frost, the way, given the light post is kind of mean, you can already see the chick forming. How formed it is, it may be too early when you take it open, that it's not going to be alive, it's not going to survive, it's not sufficiently developed. That's right?
Okay.
So the hachanami basis of frost, so my curry is snail, yeah? Well, when my curry is snail, I know you skip the line, that's what the rice can do. Fine. So far, it seems to be in the story, no problem. However, as you all know, they give me the Babli mess of Hamid, it's not safe. So that's the end of the bright test. You now have a basin that you cook, and it turns out that you find a frog in one of them. The same rule applies to the issue of no same time. The Michalal, what do you see from this Michalal?
It's called the race.
In other words, if the Seifa clearly is talking about a case of Beit Sefera, so the ratio is not talking about it. It's Zeya means Zeya. Nothing more to say about it. So the Babli now pulls out a Babli tool. Okay, and Aviga was asking about this. We just encountered one in Gittin, and we found quickly another one in Kiddushin, and I don't know how many there are in Shas. But this is what the Babli is about to do, and it's particularly, you know, I'll call it a Babli tool. There are many of these methods that are unique to the Babli. They're probably from the Stam layer of the Gemara in interpreting brises and mishnayos and certain kinds of methodologies. One of them, which I have not had a chance to fully explore, but come up in the past, is a Chasur Mechasra. And this is something you probably won't find in a discussion like this in Yerushalmi, because the whole Pasha was created by a comment of Abaye. And Abaye is not going to be known in the Yerushalmi. Rabbi could be quoted once in the entire Yerushalmi. But when you have the Mishnah, almost inevitably, when the Babli, and it's almost always the anonymous layer, there may be a few exceptions, when it says Hasur Mechasra, the Yerushalmi, if the question is so obvious, the Yerushalmi will have a different approach and a different way of dealing with the Mishnah. So here, the Babylon says what? Says Peruche Komifarish. In other words, it's not that it's two separate cases. It's that it's one case. First, the Mishnah provides you the first case, and it provides you the second case to explain what the first case is talking about. Okay? So Peruche Komifarish. Now, how do you read it? Basim Tahoros. Ketan, that's the key word, Ketan. Okay, so that's the way the Babli presents it. So now, and they want to go ahead and try to bring a Raya. And again, this is a typical, it's almost like a, it's like a stamp out of which the sugya, out of which this type of a problem is solved. So you'll see the exact thing, you'll find elsewhere, I believe, the Hachinami Misabra, exact same way. Hachinami Misabra, to me, low area. So Imishim Halo area. Not necessarily so. If that's not a riot, I mean, it's not a riot. Why? Tana Seifa. No, now the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is saying it doesn't have to be read that way, and there's nothing compelling. The flow, the Resha, the less for Ephroa. It teaches you that the Resha has no Ephroa in it, and nonetheless, it is Asura. Correct. So the point is that this is the Machshon of the Gemara originally. It says that the fact that the second one is Talach from the first is not a Raya that it's Pirush Kamafarish. It could be that after it tells you the first sin of Beit Tzeya, it now comes to tell you that don't think that Tzeya means Ephroach. I'm going to give you Ephroach also. But if I didn't give you the case of Ephroach, you would have said that Beit Tzeya means Ephroach. But literally Beit Tzeya, that would be Mutera. Now, the truth is, there is one kasha that really is left, and it may be a general question on the methodology, and what is that? It's an obvious question. According to the Tartan, according to the Shita that says, hey, we should come afarish, what is the problem with this? What is the problem with this? Tada? Correct. Why have the first case? That the whole point of the Sesta is simply to teach us. No. The person who said that it's only Beit Sefera, so according to that Shita, just tell us the din of Beit Sefera. Don't tell us the din of Beit Sefera. And then I went on my own, why would I have assumed that Beit Sefera is included in it? Right? In other words, the Manda Omar that says that both are Asuros says that it's not enough to teach you the case of Beit Sefera because you might misread Beit Sefera and assume that it really means Beit Sefera. And hence, because that's to present two separate bubbles, and therefore you understand that it's talking about both. If you assume that really Sefer is only talking about Beit Sefer, just give us the explicit case of Beit Sefer and Sefer, and then I don't need the ratio. And I don't need the ratio. That's a question. How do we go? No, that's what the Machshon says. The Machshon just says, I forget which one of you spoke to me about this. It might have been Jeremy. That the Gemara, it's very important to realize this, and the Rashba points this out. The Gemara's Maskana is not that Beta Sephroa, and that Beta, Beta Asmeya, which doesn't have an Ephroach and an Achim. So it's not the Gemara's Maskana. The Gemara is the Chia here. In other words, you want it to be Medaye. The Tartan wanted to be Medaye from the Tesefta, that it must be the only basis of Sefer HaChazasar, because otherwise, just tell us the first case, what do you need the second case for? Now the Machshon, the original Machshon, the Gemara turns and says, no, that's not a right if you're a Chai, because it could be that really Beit Sefer means Beit Sefer. You want to know then why tell me the case of Beit Sefer HaChazasar home there? So the answer is, I tell you basis of Ralach to make sure that you understood basis of Meir properly. That doesn't mean that the Tosefta has to be explained that way. It simply means that the Tosefta could be explained that way. So it's very important to realize in the Maskana of the Gemara, you know, it's a stalemate. And therefore, Avaya Zukimta ultimately does sin, and that's why we pass in that way. And we pass in that the only time cooking a non-kosher egg with kosher egg would break up the other eggs potentially, and you would require shishim or shishim ha'acha, would be when that non-kosher egg is non-kosher because it has an efroach in it, not because it came from a non-kosher bird.
And then we're left with the common relation.
So again, that's the two ways of reading the sefesa. You could read it from sefesa as Perusha Samatarish, or you could read it from sefesa as Kanafe from the Gomu Yerisha. It could be either way. There's no fire one way or the other. What compels Abayang to give his explanation with Yidi Barami's question is an accused question. Right, the bottom line is, can't take the egg. It's Maya Debay Delma. So it's a mysterious observation. So the truth is, the professor doesn't prove to you one way or the other, and therefore you're left with this mysterious observation, which Abayang says. Excuse me, does? I'm sorry, there was a thousand verses.
Yeah, no, I
think
it's one of the best.
No, that is, but there are two people in dialogue here, two anonymous people in dialogue.
So, when we're doing this, are we saying that we know the answer is that it's going to get us to this for an answer? Or is it that you
know
that it's going to be a great deal for the answer that you suck?
No, it's neither. I don't understand why you see this passage for either specifically there. There's a machlokas. You know, there's a machlokas among but they have a smedrish of the I assume it's not some Abayah's base medrash. It's probably later. You know, the Masadri and Sugya are taking Abayah's of Kimta and they're dealing with it. And now what do you do with it? So there's two Abayah's medrash who are arguing back and forth. One asks the question about Abayah, the other one provides the answer. That's my assumption. I mean, it could be, it's possible that Abayah talking is highly unlikely. Why is it unlikely? Because there's no Omar Leh. Presented all anonymously. But he stays anonymous, and the answer is Hachanami, not Omar Leh Hachanami. In other words, Hachanami means to stay in his center stall. Okay. Yehuda? No. That's not, the choices would be, is that the Tana who originally writes it clarifying it, or is that an editorial layer to clarify it? I don't know. I'm not sure it matters. I mean, it matters from theoretical, from historical perspective or history of the Sebastian Mishnah, but I don't think... Yes, it would. Theoretically, there could be an alternative possibility. But in every single one of these cases, you do that, the Gemara presents the alternative possibility. They're both there. And neither one's compelling. Right? In other words, it's either... It is exclusive. The answer is yes, there are probably layers in the Mishnah, but most of the time discerning them is very much speculative. You know, as I pointed out many times, you know, layers in this, you know, my comments, my critique of the academy as source criticism, and I have to say, sheer hypocrisy in the American school, not so much in Israel, that the accepted view of Neusner that you see, there are no layers in the Mishnah. And the same people turn around and say you can discern layers in the Mishnah, but you can discern layers in biblical sources as a joke. And it indicates that the ideology has dictated beforehand what the answer is rather than any kind of higher evidence from the sources. It's clear that if you think that you can't see layers in the Mishnah, it's a Kavachomer from Menosha, Kavachomer, Menosha, Kavachomer, that you can't see in any biblical source. One can argue very much that you can't see in biblical sources, but you can't see in the Mishnah, which I think is the standard Orthodox position. The Gemara clearly assumes there are layers in the Mishnah. I think it's pretty obvious there are layers in the Mishnah. But subtle, except for when there's very, very clear criteria, you're often being engaged in a game of guesswork. I'm also reluctant to do it here because here it's very much in the kinta of the Bavli. And reading the professor that way, we would not be inclined to argue that it's chat. You know, and hence, you will not find such a kinta in the Yerushalmi. No,
Dad?
It's just, but here's my argument against on that level. If it were really a gloss at the later Tana, then why did he make it clear it was a gloss? right? And I mean, yeah, but that's a question no matter what for the Babli. In other words, Pirusha Kamaparish is very much a docile type of kinta because you're forced into a corner, right? Because if you were putting one as an explanatory comment, even if you're the original author, right, then why not make it clear, you know, in the first place? Okay. Anyway, fine. Now we get a couple of more very important stories in the Gemara, Maitim cases. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're never supposed to preface a question with that, because if the answer is mean, he can respond to it by saying, yeah, that was a stupid question. So just tell us, just ask the question. Perusha Kamafarish says that the Seifa is the same case as the Reisha, but it's simply stating it more cleanly. Tana Seifa with Galuya Reisha is that it's a different case, but by giving you the case in the Seifa, and since you don't repeat the same case twice, it tells you that the Reisha is in fact a different case. You Tana Seifa to show you that the Reisha is something else. How to read the Reisha, which is not the Seifa, because you don't repeat the same case twice. Okay, go ahead. Who can say it, sir? Hold on. The answer is yes. Of course it's connected to the previous sugya. Because Abaye's comment was an expansion on... Well, which part? You mean what's about the time? Yeah, I think it is. I think it's a continuation. It's not obviously. It's a different generation. But go ahead. Go ahead. Who? The Bistra. So what is Turan? Chelev. I don't know how that connects with linguistics, but that I know. I saw that, but unless you assume a visual swap, which is not impossible, but unlikely. So I assume they're not connected. I just, what? Just leave it. Tarba and Nafa Bikula, the Bikula is a more important word. But the problem is it's not clear what it means. Bikula typically means a basket. Rashi, however, goes out of his way, and the Rishonim talk about this, starting with Tosis. The Tosis is not the only one. Tosis, if I'm not mistaken, only Tosis didn't give the reason why. Well, he didn't speculate as to why Rashi did what he did. But the other Rishonim do talk about why Rashi says what he says. So what does Rashi say, Bikula the Bistra? Kalachas. What is a kalachas? So if you are familiar with the word, I believe it's a biblical Hebrew word, not mistaken, a kalachas is tough. Okay? Or maybe I'm making that up. I saw it. Kibasar Asher b'kalachas. No. Sounds like a pasuk. It's not a good word. Not a pasuk. So kalachas. Rashi says that the kula is a pot. Now, what's the difference between a pot and a basket? I don't even to state the obvious. What significance
you can't
is
cook
there? It. You could cook in a basket if you had something that actually can hold it. A basket could be the last soup, but it's not likely to be there because the liquid is going to drip out. You're not going to have rotes in which the meat. Stews. That we know. Bistra, that's clear. Bistra is meat. So you're not going to have a pot in which the meat stews if you have holes in it. Why is that important? No, but you have different pieces of bistra. The assumption is here you can't tell the chaylev apart for whatever reason. It looks like the bistra doesn't spread. The tom doesn't spread. Remember that kipas chaylev shenafal al hachaticha. If it falls on one, and it's either there's an achlokas or achintosis about whether or not it's part of it in the roteh, but everybody agrees if there's no roteh, and you're not niyeh, and you're not tisa, then it's only in one piece. Well, hold on. So now, yes, that's correct. So now, Rashi says that it's a pot. So what happens? Savar. So apparently in this case, and this goes back to that Rashi we tortured ourselves on like Tafs Nadi Zainam Abay, in this case it would appear that the Isser comes to you at the end, and the Hetzer comes to you at the end, it's the first time you're measuring them. So what did he want to do? Sava Ravashi. In the margins, you have Ravashi for a reason, because the next one is that way. This, by the way, is a generally difficult this is a problem that we have of the confusion between sin and Sabbath and what that does. You all know that the famous Gemara Baba Mishnah about Ravina Ravashi spoke for Hurrah. It would appear in our Yosef as a shin, something that looks like a shin, and the drasha that the Gemara has, Adavo Mikdashi, Avina Lacharisam, that's the simon, sounds like Ravina and Mikdashi is Ravashi. However, Shriragon, and this is very important in terms of the history of the Babli, but Shriragon seems to have a Girsa of Ravashi. I mean, he could have had that same letter, but he seems to have read it as a sin, and Ravashi actually has the person who seems to be responsible, so Ravina with Yossi, which that easily could come to be that as Ravashi and Rav Yossi being. So, the bottom line is, you have this confusion probably frequently. Anyway. Okay. But in this case, it should be. It's on the side of the Mitzvah Shas also. It's in the continuation, and the both in the story and then the next piece, it is likely to be Ravashi. Okay, so some Ravashi, go ahead. So what did he want to do? He wanted to assume that he wanted to be Messiah Heta, that the Tikkun of Hezbollah, along with to be Messiah, who the Heta that was in the past, and be Messiah be Yisrael. Now, what is the Gemara? What do they say to him? Probably a Chirik. Okay. So this is what we saw Rashi earlier. In other words, this is the Bola'efi Kolei half a time.
Well, the Rashi statement over here, is he saying that, is he trying to be mocking and say that,
you want to be Mako? So they said that, what are you talking about? Just as is Bolea Easter, it was Bolea Hekin. Now the truth is, Ravashi's statement presents some very serious problems. It's Havamina. I mean, it could be that's what they're rejecting, but it's not even clear that's what they're rejecting. Let's say we were to know that it wasn't Bolea from the Easter. I mean, this goes back to that old. It's the kasha that the Ramban asks, and Ramban tries to answer, right? In other words, let's it was Bolea more of the Issar. Who cares? What is in the pot right now? This amount of Issar and this amount of Heter. Why came an Asher on the basis of now? But that was the kasha that the Ramban asked, and the Ramban gave a very different tariff. And the way we explain the Ramban did away with that problem, because the Ramban, you don't really know, at least the way the Ramban passes, you don't really know how much Issar is in there. But it sounds like the Gemara here, everybody would be masking. If in fact you knew it wasn't Bolea Issa, it was just Bolea Hesha, you could be Messiah, the Hesha was Bolea, so the Hesha is in the past, to be Mavato, the Issa that's in the past. The question is why? Difficult.
I am putting him up. The Ravashi is basically saying that here. He's saying there was already a problem with Hesha according to the past beforehand.
Like, no.
So then what difference would it make? So what type of question are you going to ask? I mean, if there's 65 the amount of Israel that fell in, right, even if some of it gets absorbed into the side, or even if some of it probably also gets absorbed into the side, then it's still a bunch of pieces.
No, but he wants to take the Israel in the wall, plus the Heter in the wall, plus the Heter in the pot, sitting in the bottle, the Israel in the pot. And they're saying, Jim, if you want to do that, you have to take the Heter in the wall, plus the Heter in the pot, to move out of the Easter in the walls and the Easter in the pot. You can't pick and choose.
No, there isn't. I mean,
it's Balua.
No.
Ravashi was trying to get 60 by adding the head that was Balua on the walls of the pot. To be move out of the Easter that was in the pot.
But if he started out with less than 50 times the amount of Easter to begin with, then...
We don't know. In this case, the way Ravashi would explain, we didn't see the Easter of the head originally. We only see the Easter in the head there. Ravashi wants to say, you know what, it absorbs Heter, let's add that to the Heter that we see. So we move on to the Heter that we see. And they said to him, you can't do that. If you want to take the Heter that you don't see and add it to the Heter that you do see, you're going to have to take the Heter that you don't see and add it to the Heter that we do see. And then if you add 60, so presumably, if you have 60 or what's in the pot, then adding the stuff in the wall doesn't change the equation. The assumption is that Bolea proportionally. And if it's Bolea proportionally, then by the time you're done, you're going to have the same proportion. So just look what you have in the pot. Don't bother with, trying to pretend you're going to be Mishar what was so late.
I'm not sure we had mentioned that to suggesting. This one was out of place. This one on how design days one was out of place with Katie Machari then. Or with Katie Machari. And
but the point is that we had different ways of explaining it and getting around the problem. You know, the simplest way, and a lot of Michelin effects do say this, let's say for Rashi, is that this is a case where we don't know, we saw nothing beforehand, we only see the end. Whereas in that case, we saw the Yisr when it fell in, and now let's say we see the Yisr and we see the Hefet. So that, in that case, we know how much the Yisr shrunk, but the question is, can we assume that there was heter, that it was bolea? Take that to case with, how do we say for the Rambam, when you knew how much Isser fell in, you don't know how much Isser there is anymore, and you know how much there is total left. The assumption is you could assume it was bolea, so you have to figure out how much heter there was originally. So the answer is you figure out how much a pot was typically bolea, you add that to the total that's in the pot, and now you see if the amount you had originally was 1/60th of what there was originally, fine.
I don't understand what logic says that
nobody says that that would be Moshe. Nobody. No, because you don't count what's in the wall of the pot there. The only issue would...
For a while, then that will... And the wall will be pulling, and then it will...
Nobody says that. Nobody says it that way. The Shaila would be only if the one Tanai is fell into Shishim. And now it's caught, and some of the stuff disappeared. And let's say you still have the kezayas there. That's the biggest pool of beauty you're going to find in the Rishon. But right now you have one kezayas and less than two from the top, and maybe it will be Masaris, that which was absorbed. And that which was there, as the Rambam says, that which was there when the Issa fell in. That which was not there before the Issa fell in, that was not there by the time the Issa fell in, we don't even consider. I'm not going through this again right now. You go back and you go back to the previous shiur and you'll see how we read it all. Alright, now the last case here. Hahu. So we now have a half a kezayis of chaylev. Before we do this, one more question. Why did Rashi say that it was a pot and not a basket? So the Rashba really comes on with two explanations. The first one, which I think is the more obvious one, is that if you were to assume that it were in fact a bikula b'distra, and on the assumption that you could identify the piece of chaylev that fell in, the piece that and you could pull the chaylev out, which is what you would expect. So if there was no rotan, you wouldn't be mishayer the pot, the shishit, over mind the balak adera. You would simply have to remove the piece on which it fell. Why? Because the only piece that's going to absorb from the chaylev is the piece that the chaylev came in contact with. Even if that piece of meat is touching another piece of meat, the Rashba says, if there's no rotet between them, time is not going to transfer. And therefore, it's never going to be a shishim shayla. Assuming you recognize the kezai of the chaylev, Shlomo. A wicker basket? You have holes in the bottom. I don't think that is probably not enough that even Tosfos would say time transfer. Yeah. What's that? No, the point is that there's no load set in the first place. As soon as you put your pieces of meat in,
and like a bitter,
if you no one's adding load set here. When you cook the meat in the pot, you get the juice from the meat minimizing. You're not getting any of that here. It just drips down. Meat juice is dripped down. That's what meat juice is all like down.
Is it more like solid then?
It is like being solid, yes. Exactly it. In the absence of liquid, but in flea, not at, from one piece to another, the Rashba says you don't get transferred time when there's no liquid in the flea. That's a later topic.
Yeah,
not from one piece to another, only within one piece. Huh? But zavuf is mean, zavuf means when it's mamish attached, mechubar. In other words, chaylev, if chaylev was in a piece of meat, so chaylev, that piece of meat, that's called an issue zavuf. So there, ash b'nei ashkenaz, ultimately, Ramah, it's machmir to treat it. We saw this a little in Tosis in the Tzal. I don't know if you use the term issue zavuf. So because the challah was in the Tzal itself, maybe. I mean, that may have been related to issue zavuf. So in terms of the way issue zavuf works out, according to the Ramah, I mean, not Chachmei Sfarad, and even some Chachmei Ashkenaz, is that when you have a piece where the issue is mamish zavuf to it, and I don't know the exact definition of zavuf, but I assume, I don't know if that's going to be naturally attached or it's stuck now, but when you have an issue zavuf, the assumption is that after that piece more than other things, even if there's a rotet. So therefore, according to the Ramah, if you have a piece of meat, we just saw this on whatever Thursday, if you have a piece of meat with chaylev in it, and you cook that in a pot, so for the Torah and the Rashba, as long as you let the pot cool down and you achieve you can make the chaylev, not only is the rest of the pot mutter, but so too the chatikha which the chaylev is on, you still just remove the chaylev. But according to the Ramah, not so. According to the Ramah, that piece is up no matter what. So the issue is double so. But this will not, this is, this, when I don't think issue davuk is relevant here. Those two pieces of meat touching each other is not going to be called an issue davuk. I don't think that's davuk. I could be wrong, but because the Rashba here, who says that there's no transfer of time, doesn't hold an issue davuk, the way we do anyway. So I don't know for sure, but I suspect it's not called an issue davuk. Perhaps I'm wrong. But nonetheless, the chaticha on which the chayla falls certainly is the problem. Okay, but according to Rashi, if it were a dikuva mamish, a sal, then you wouldn't have a shayla of shishim. You just have to write. Now, this is an assumption, and there's another path for this. But assuming you recognize the piece, you just take where it falls, you remove that piece, and it's not an issue of shisha. Shlomo? It's still not going to have rotev. The pot. No, it might be a little moist, but it's not going to have rotev. And that's not going to affect transfer time. Now, probably, it could be Malicha. The Rishon may talk about this issue. If there were wicker, it might be Malicha, but this is, hold on, 1 second. This is spoken about by the Rishon, I don't remember what they say. No, I haven't gotten to it, 1 second. That issue is quite, I think if it's a good tool, it might be. It's not that you can't necessarily cook things in it. You can bake things in an oven like that. I just was reading about some organic place that they're making of a biodegradable utility, palm leaf in India. Found out. Very, very serious. These things degrade in about 6 weeks, but you can actually bake stuff on them in an oven. Quite amazing. So, okay, that's not going to constitute visual, though. So the Rashba then says, but if you want to argue that Rashi's going to say, but just, you know, I'll give you a simple answer. Maybe the case is where you don't recognize the chatich anymore. And if you don't know where the chalit is, you don't know what you fell on. In which case, at that point, you're back to the standard of shishim. So at that point, the Rashba says no, because for Rashi, it's not going to work. Why? Because if you don't have sauce, what are you dealing with here? You're dealing with mindamino. And he's assuming that chalit and basar are menechon, and according to Rashi, mindamino is not basar unless Rabbi Yehuda, so Rashi passes in most places. And therefore, if mindamino is osir b'chol shehu, then the entire pot is off. The only way to be mevatel the yisra for Rashi is if you recognize the chaticha that the chayla fell on, the piece of chayla, wherever that is, and you remove it, and you had enough in the rotev to be mevatel the time of the chayla, then we say, samlek is mino, v'sh'ino mino rava alav u'mevatel. So the rotev to be mevatel the chayla, and if it's able to do so on its own, then the rest of the chatichas in the pot are also mutter, because we just pretend they're not there. So that's how they explain why Rashi insists that it's actually it's a pot, not a basket. Okay. Not everybody agrees with that. Fine. Now, last case. Who called it a day, sir?
I did not want to be able to do this in the way of our
Less than palliated data. He wanted to use 30. It's almost when you first read it, there's a little bit of a sleight of hand here. The 30 what? The 30 cathetin that works perfectly, right? The apostat. The 30 palliated data, right? So now, what is the status of Chashi Shear? So the Gemara is going to raise that issue. You should just be aware without any details. It is a machlokas. Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan found in the Babli in the beginning of the last parak of Yoma. It's referred to elsewhere also, but there's an afloka. What's that?
Yeah.
I don't know where else the sugya might appear, and you call me the Bible, I don't remember, but it's right on the first Mishnah. They want to explain why is it that the Mishnah says that Yomaki formas asur achidam shia, yuchai karis, it's not just asur. The other minuim are only asurim. So, one teres of the Gemara was chashishir, of the new Rabbi Yochanan teres. And anyway, the Rabbi Yochanan learns from kol chaylev, right, kol chaylev l'rabas chashishir. Fine. So anyway, so he wanted, he had tachas mikashir, he wanted to be mevatel for shloshim. So what does he, what do they say, what did his father say to him? Amar le'avuha, who was Mar Bar Avashi's father? Avashi, okay, there you go. All right. What's that? I have no idea. We have Mar. Mar is a name, and I don't know why it's used as that name. Okay, so Mar Rav Ashi says to his son Mar. Lav Amin Allah, have I not said to you? Lo Tadal to the Shir and the Rabbanan. Now, which Rishon was guilty of this? Which Rishon was guilty of this? Rambam, who was Tadal to the Shir and the Rabbanan. He said only 59, generically. Okay, but obviously that's not what, if that's how you read the Chal, the Rambam sheet is that he said Rabbanan only 559. That is literally being Tadal to the Shir and the Rabbanan, but that's obviously not what the Gemara is referring to here. He wanted to just say, it's only, in the assumption, in the first part of the statement, is Tadal to the Shir and the Rabbanan. Just because something is only us in the Rabbanan doesn't mean you can be made also be Mavasa, you know, not require Shishi. Yeah, so treat it the same way. Okay. There is a difference between the Ethan Rashi and Rabbanan. Speka. But in terms of the Shir Bittal, so Rashi has some, at least essentially the same, it's not Mamish and Shishi. Most we shall say, Chal is just a Yoshi Dofen, but all other Ethan Rabbanan require Shishi as well. So far, so good. Most Rishonim would say that Chal, it's not just that it be current. Chal is fundamentally mutter. The meat is mutter, and if you and the milk is mutter, and if you do it treat it properly, you can eat both of them. That's why Chal is it should be discussed why the Chal is nitzare. In other words, the Chal is min aminyan because the Chal itself is essentially mutter. You don't have to get into the ikardarei and not ikardarei. Okay, fine. So basically, the conclusion you would draw from the sugya is what? What is the shear of bittul, generally speaking? Shishim. Mm-hmm. And when you count the shishim, is it zvar ha'isim and aminim, not minaminim? Generally not minaminim, it's probably the exception. Okay, let's continue from here. Now, I pointed out to you on the sheet that there clearly, it's not just the dinim that are parallel here between the Bavli and Yushami. But it seems to be a very clear-cut case where the Bavli, it certainly has the name of Samaritan Israel, maybe even the Sugya from Eretz Yisrael. Here you have this long name chain, which is a little bit confused in the Bavli, or maybe it may be manuscripts confused it, and eventually it got distorted that way in transmission to us, not that they didn't have it straight in the Bavli, but it clearly looks a lot like that in the Yerushalmi. As I numbered the names, you can see there's overlap of almost every single one, with one or two exceptions. Okay, so what does the Bavli say here? Let me get another reader. Volunteer. I'm there. Just read. Come on.
Amar Rabbi.
Yeah, that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. I don't know why they lose the I in there, but I'm not coming.
Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. Amar Rabbi. Somewhere over 80 bar 80.
Now, bar 80 is probably not there. That's, I think the most of the things that don't happen. So Amar of Edi, Bar Gershom.
Bar Gershom. Amar of Levi, Bar Pata. Amar Rabbi Nelson. Amar Rabbi Birayim.
Birayim, or say, let's say Birayim, or Sirayim, and think yourself, Mishum.
Mishum is not in a thought. Bar Rabbi Yaakov is made the day Mishmiel.
Rabbi Yaakov Shemen. End of the case.
Rabbi Yaakov Shemen.
Now, the Bay Nisiya.
The Bay Nisiya, Amru. Based on the teaching of the Rav, the teaching of the Rav, Mizaret.
Okay, so he said, he had a quotation here, okay? Rabbi Shimon Barabba had a quotation here, and it's not clear exactly what he said. He said, based on the teaching of Asura, the teaching of the Rav. Now, does that include the base itself or not? It's really not clear. So he responds to him,
I'm a Rabbi Zera, I'm a Rav Shimon Barabba. Rei shasa matir nagvul heter.
Rei shamata nagvul heter. Now, the way the statement sounds, if I would have read this without Rashi, but Rashi made it probably right anyway, I would have said that it sounded like he was being makel. He said 60 plus if, not 61 plus if. And he said, Rei shasa matir nagvul heter, you're putting a gvul of heter in it. Right. Now, they were Mesupah. So what was he when he said it? Said he was Mesupah too. So what's the big deal? Why do you expect him to be any better than Mesupah Dole Hador? He's about to float, right? If he, however, said it was Mutter, I understand why. They said, Now, of course, the alternative possibility, there is another possibility. You could say that he was Mesupah. I think that's the way Rashi does. He was Mesupah, but the listener might not realize he was Mesupah and might mistakenly decide that he was being matir b'shishim plus the Issa. And therefore it says, in Re'esha Mata Bal Heter, you're giving the impression that there's a certain kind of Heter. Rashi said, Re'esha Mata Bal Heter, Re'imata Osa Shalotit HaVitash HaMuchan Alecha Sh'ata Mata Dvol Latir b'shishim Achat Ve'encha Mepharish Shimahate V'Gali L'Barmina. You're not explaining, really, whether it is with or without the Yisr. And the Shomim are going to make the mistake and assume that you're giving them a definite heter, a definite kulah, 60 plus the Yisr. The Gemara continues. Rav Yaakov or Ibi, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, go ahead. Okay, so remember you had a machlokas in the Yerushalmi about it. And it was a machlokas on the Ram in the Yerushalmi, whether it's 61 or 62 total. Okay? They were not sure about it. Odumul of Armine, but Lopashumar Mifshai. That sounds like, now again, Rashi is forced to reread this. What does that sound like? It sounds like he was Poshet Leheta. The way Rashi reads a Mifshah, Poshet Mifshah, She'im Chamatil Shum Safik, the Dabar Lomer, the Ani Aben, he's Minamian, Shoshishimacha, so low. Not that he said it was Mutter, but you don't give the impression of being the Supah. And therefore, your listeners might assume 60 plus 1. And then you're going to get us in trouble. So maybe, really, you need 61 plus 1. Okay. Itmar. Now, first, at this point, what is the standard shear that the Sugya is working with here? No.
Unknown.
Unknown. They're talking about pizza. And you see that there's one sheet that holds a 61, one sheet that holds a 60 plus. Let's go on a little further. Go ahead. Okay, so he paskins that way. Now, by the way, this is probably, it might be an interpolation in effect. Now, interpolation of the Masadri Asugya. But now, Amar, Ahudasa.
Ahudasa, we come in the Rebbe Gamliel Bar Evi. Amar Le'e. I don't know if we are the Armorian Seva, Armoria, Hasha, Air, Armand Lehomme.
Okay, and then there's another story like that. This one does not appear in the Yerushalmi. Who does the time of the Shimba Rebbe? Abba Shir and Mehem and Yeshua and Gimel. Now, the story is essentially the same story. The question is, what does it mean? The Rashi here quotes two interpretations. Right, one interpretation, Rashi says, he understands Abba Lo Shir Barabai Mesheva. Did my father not? Was he not Matir in the case of 47? So I'll be Matir in the case of 45. So the question, so Rashi here is crossing a line that I think maybe shouldn't have been crossed. Rashi here is blending something that shouldn't have been blended. Well, I would interpret the Gemara differently, but Rashi writes, Abba Halo Bamasa Kizelefano. Now, you have to understand how these lessons he says. That's why Rashi in the previous Hebrew Masechta, Ahuda also said what? Palga Dizbeisa Bisturahav. What has Rashi done? He's got to put, what's Rashi's problem? How could anybody do less than Shishim? But he doesn't go down that road. He doesn't go down that road. But the truth is, he's stuck between a rock and a hard place anyway. So what is he forced to say?
He's talking about a chassid here.
Well, there's still another problem though. Didn't the sefer just say that you can't be in the house on a chassid here? Okay. So b'chora chassid, you're going to have some type of a problem according to this reading. Now Rashi says, "The nira the hachi kamer abel the shiva merbrayim b'sheva." My father had a case of 47. He wasn't willing to make it. And yes, sheva and hey b'tnia. He explains, I'm a baller from the master, how you're the bathroom and saying, Follow Shira the Hatir, for Asar, and yes, you're going to be hey, well, the Lushan Zay in Sarah for Farish the Hatir Zay, and I'll ask you to your shoulder. Now, what are you talking about? Mem Zayin means Mem Zayin times the amount of Hister. Not Mem Zayin to Hister. So this was the story. This is what happened. It's a nice Shahaya, right? You're going to ask why 47? You're Darshan, there's a Kabbalistic secret in it. No, that's what happened. I don't know. You know, yeah. No, 47, whatever the issue was, Halga Dezesa, whatever it was, 47 times that amount is what he had in the past. If the whole thing in the first place is only a chassid shir, chassid shir doesn't mean half. Nobody says that if it's 0.49 kedushim, that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't is not matir. Chassid shir means less than a shir shalom, less than a kedushim. 47 times that. 45 times that. Now. It's a din and bittel of chassishir, right? You're being mazalzel at a chassishir. Because the yitzer in the first place. Remember, think for the Rambam, for example, Tom Seifer. The Rambam, when you have a kedayim to pay achilas pras, the Rambam says if you eat a pras, you get malchus. Not if you eat a kedayim to the tarobas, right? So one might say, I think the Rambam is general line, that if you're chassishir in the first place, we'll much more make on some of the bittel. No, that's not true. If you assume that chassid shir is also only in the rabbanon, if chassid shir is also only in the rabbanon, it means take the chassid shir and put it in my mouth. That half a kedai chadir removes the menatora. If that's the case, it can't offer a pot just because you can take the chadir. The tom, even if tom, you say tom ki ikra menatora, the tom can't be more chomer than the ikra. If the ikra is muslim menatora, then the tom is muslim menatora. The Tom Tikar of a Chatzishir, not of a Shir Shalom. The din of Tom Tikar means literally what it says, that the flavor of something that's awesome in the Torah, of an object that's awesome in the Torah, is also minatora. If the object is mitzvah minatora, the tam of that object cannot be also minatora. So if I have a piece of kedayis, which is also minatora, it falls into a tasha, and I can taste the flavor of that kedayis, those who are tam ki kedaraisa, that's in the raisa. If it was a chati shir at someone, and I hold that chati shir is only also minatora rabbanon, then the tam of that tam, the very same tam, it tastes the same, is only also minatora rabbanon. No different than what you have at the end. A kedayis here, the Chachi dying here, one of them does Minotaurah, one of them does Mitzvah. It is the way it is. Russia?
This is the second Therese of Rashi, pretty much going down the road and saying, he's saying.
He's saying that
he's on vacation.
Right. I mean, you still have a fundamental question, according to Rashi, according to the second shot, which is, why introduce 47 and 45? In other words, what was the Havamina?
I don't know. Why wasn't Rashi surprised? Why wasn't Rashi surprised by that either?
So I go back now to Shlomo's original question, which is, there's one more story, but we'll probably be able to read that quickly tomorrow. What's going on here? Well, Nachman has set us on a very mainstream course, or mainstream thoughts, at least teach him. Everything was very nice. We worked out some issues in Beis. Now, all of a sudden, we have a question about Beis 61, 62, and we have Rebbe and his son, whatever, you know, being shy of things in all sorts of funny ways, ignoring Shishim. Now, that is from a historical perspective, of course we understand. Shishim was a mitzvah in Rebbe's time. Although I said, did I mention something having found a kind of Yiddish source for Shishim? And what was that? I thought I found something. Well, you had that position in a bright somewhere. Okay, you know what, it might have been specific. No, you see, it might have been specifically by, what's it by? I don't know. Correct, so it might not have been held. That's very nice. But what's going on in the Bavli here? Why does the Bavli not point out that there's a steer between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna's left son? Why does the fact that, according to Rashi's reading, there's a steer in the Chassid Shir between what Rebbe and his father and his son were doing versus Rav Ashi until my brother Rashi? It's not even for you to get that fact. You can't have a hoax anymore. But there's no awareness of what's going on. Now, we have another piece of data here, which you might not necessarily think is relevant, but very clearly, this entire sugya that you see is, again, whether it's in the sugya or whether it's individual neighbors, I suspect it's the sugya, this came from Eretz Yisrael as being incorporated in this Bavli. Now, what then is the solution to these problems? What's that? No, I understand that, but Moshe?
I mean, I just sort of, I have some light of questions, and the Gemara goes on to talk about how, you know, how they're getting into the Zerub Shela, and how they get what the themes are.
Well,
but
this
leads into it.
Now, so let me make an observation about Zerub Shela. Zerub Shela is a separate and unrelated sugya. I mean, it's Tom Kikar, I understand that. Hold on, it's Tom Kikar, it relates to the numbers and so on. Zerub Shela, at its core, and we're going to deal with this really after Yom Tov, and we're going to sort of try to take apart the sugya, and it really requires taking apart. The Zerub Shela appears to be an Eretz Yisrael sugya with a Bavli overlay, with a Sam overlay. Okay, we're going to deal with that. Now, in light of that, Abigail, you want to make a comment before I spill the beans. It happens very frequently in the Bavli, and I don't know why this happens historically or chronologically, what the timing is. You will get at the end of a Bavli sugya the Torah of Eretz Yisrael placed there without any attempts to weave it together with what's there before. If you want to look at a very simple case of this, take a look, and I can give you two examples on a smaller level. One in the beginning of the first parak in Beisa, where there are four reasons given for the Mishnah, for why Beisa Shalom Adion Tuzal. So the first three are Amoraim, they're all Amoraim of Babel, and then at the end of the segment, you get to Atar Yochanan on Kavarleh, that basis to the best. Now, from a chronological perspective, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But the Yochanan should have come first. He's the earliest of everybody. But the point is, it seems to be that the Torah of Eretz Yisrael makes its way from Eretz Yisrael to Babel at some later point, and it's sort of just appended there. There's another good example in the Sugya of Darshan and Misgavi and Sibus in the first parak, where you have a series of questions, second generation, third generation, fourth generation, about Bo, Bila, Rishon, and Bishabis. It seems to have ended, and then all of a sudden you get, you know, some Rabbi asked a question, Rabbi asked me, something from Eretz Yisrael at the end, which is in the wrong place. And again, it's a function of the Torah of Eretz Yisrael coming later. Sometimes you get complete figures that find their way in or sort of just glued in at the end without any attempt to sort of put them together. So the fact is, when you look at this sugya, and I think the shot is at 45, you could still read, I would read like Rashi's second shot. I think the way we would have read the, well, actually, no, Ty, if you read it with the Yushami, If you read it with Ushami, correct, Rashi's second shot, funny, Rashi doesn't make reference to Ushami. The Ushami would suggest Rashi's second shot is correct. But the reason why Shishim is not a consideration here even is because they weren't working with Shishim. The Ushami is still at a time, an earlier period, and it may be from one time there, so it's not clear, that they didn't have an absolute standard Shishim. And Rebbe basically said, so you could be renovating in the Shabbat time, but you weren't necessarily going to. He said, my father wasn't willing to be making in 47. I'm not going to be making in 45. Like Rashi's second interpretation, you don't have to introduce the Chatzis here, but the fact is that even though it doesn't contradict Shishim, Shishim wasn't a necessity. But 47, he felt in this case, wasn't enough. And Rebbe said, I'm not, 47, he felt was enough. I'm not going to 45. And so really, you have two completely different tracks. You have track number one, which is the teacher track, which is Rav Nachman, after all is said and done, Rava and Rav Nachman. And then you have the Eretz Yisrael track, which is somewhat earlier, when you're still dealing with non-absolute shurim, and you have 47 and 45 and 43, and there's a line in there with Steve Shloshim between the three. Now, I believe what happens here also is, you have two big pieces from the Ushami, one we just read, and the one we're about to read. Okay, the one we're about to read, interestingly enough, is the Rav Sheva piece. Is going to be elaborated upon, and there are going to be two additional layers that we're going to see. But I think the answer to Shlomo's question ultimately, why there's an Eretz Yisrael post between Rav Nachman and the staff of the staff, you know, with the discussion of Eretz Yisrael, and of who the staff is, because it's just a different subject, and they're just put together, but it's somewhat of a, it's irrelevant to each other, but it's an artificial joining. There's no attempt to weave this thing together. Why did that happen? Probably because the sugya came later from Eretz Yisrael. When did it come? I don't know. We'll probably never know the answer to that question. Kevin? Nah. I think very, very, very unlikely. This machlokes is not the same machlokes here, 61-62. It's a machlokes in Eretz Yisrael. Machlokes time in Yerushalmi is suggested perhaps as a machlokes here even within the sugya as a topic. So I don't think that's going to explain things. One comment I shouldn't forget to make, why do you need 62 by Beitim? So the tour you know, the tour put the quotes in Ramban that you know already, you saw that already. Ramban says different sizes. However, there's another text, the Rambam gives different explanation. The Rambam says, because Beit is a davar chashuv, even though we don't paskin it's a davar shemini automatically, because it's a davar chashuv, therefore they were not meant to require one extra basis. It's a little bit like a davar shemini, like a zifron to that. What's the nafkamina between these two bales? And what if you mash and scramble it up? You scramble it up, according to the Rambam, you only need shishim. What's the big deal? A large amount of scrambled eggs. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, tipa sam. Okay? Blend it. You won't taste it. Okay? If you scramble it, it's now one big mixture. According to the Rambam, you still require shishim miyachas to be mevatel over one. According to the Rambam, you wouldn't because now it's not, it doesn't look like an egg anymore. There's no issue of davar shemini. Yes, that's exactly what the Rambam would say. At that point, you only need shishim to make a deal. Okay. Yeah. Don't ask Davar Shemini now. Davar Shemini, we're going to discuss Davar Shemini another time. Not our issue right now. That's a big, big plug in its own right. What constitutes a Davar Shemini? Fair question, but to hold it to that. There we go. There is Torah. I don't know. There's Torah from Eretz Yisrael that comes in, and it is. It's sort of appended. You know, if I were guessing, and I'm reluctant to say this. Correct. That's correct. That's similar thing. There's clearly Torah of Eretz Yisrael which makes it back to Bava earlier, and that you're going to get the later, the fourth, fifth generation of Amoraim discussed it, working it out, and the time they do it. Correct. Clearly you have the very clearly marked pieces of the Bible that bring that from Eretz Yisrael. Here it's not. It would suggest that it's very late in terms of the editing process, but I don't know. You know, at some point, you know, when I've learned all the shots with a certain eye, and collect all the data that can try to make some type of a guess as to what's really going on. But every year we're learning at least something, and it's this type of a thing comes up where it's sort of like, oh, this is Paracelsus itself stuck onto the end. Is that a second question? They talk about this question. Rashi definitely has some access. He makes very limited use. I don't know if it's because he didn't have access to very much to Yerushalmi. Go do a very long search on Yerushalmi and Rashi. Tosis quotes it much more frequently than Rashi does. I don't know why. I'm sure the issue has been written about him. It's not so many of the literature. The Rashi very rarely quotes the Yerushalmi. Clearly his grandchildren had it. And Chachmei, Hasidei Ashkenaz, are thrilled with the Yerushalmi. You would expect actually the Yerushalmi to be, the place where the Yerushalmi is going to be preserved is in Ashkenaz, because that's where his roots are. I mean, that's where his influence is, right? The Babli is much connected to the Spanish, to the Sephardic world, and the Eretz Yisrael generally, right? So all the fears that you said and will say, well, most of us will say, is really the influence of Eretz Yisrael, right? Someone said, told me recently, someone had a comment about the difference between, what's that? There's a lot of different people who are confused, but the difference between Baba and Eretz Yisrael, Baba was Eastern Europe and Eretz Yisrael was Western Europe. Very interesting, it's not a crazy analogy. Eretz Yisrael had a much shorter curriculum. Tanakh, that's where we get our, whoever the people we're doing in Tveria, our Tanakh, and there. So you have all this stuff. They were considered about halacha too, but it was not as, Bavel, was a much more, Bavel was Eastern Europe, Eretz Yisrael was Western. It's not a damn analogy. Yehuda. Although it portends poorly to Taramada, because Bavel won. Yes, Yehuda. How come it's not what? Firstly, when you say the difference between Baba and Eretz Yisrael, the answer is not. There is an Eretz Yisrael we're about to read. We see both in the Babli, but it's in the Yerushalmi also, of a standardized shear. In the first generation, should have maybe 60 or 100. That's what we're about to do. So it's not just a chronological issue. There's a point at which in Babel, it congeals. It becomes solidified as a standard. It becomes Makubal. To that extent, in Yerushalmi, we simply don't have the evidence. We don't have the maskana to see that at some point that also became a kubla next year. We just don't know. Now, the dialogue in the Beit HaKnesset taking place in Eretz Yisrael is early. That's all.
I guess the very thing to say there's a difference between what's going on necessarily not the Beit HaKnesset in Eretz Yisrael with the way, is there also a difference between what's going on in Eretz Yisrael and what's going on in the Bamo that reflects that would
I have no idea. Same as somebody asked the question, whether eggs different. I have no idea. There's no way of knowing. You can only speculate on that. I don't assume that that's what's going on here. I mean, look, I suspect that if it would turn out to be true, that Shushan was never Makubal, Mishkabel, and Eretz Yisrael as a universal standard. If that's true, and that's a big if. There's simply no way of knowing that. Do I think that it will reflect something about the different conditions in Eretz Yisrael, a different way of thinking? I mean, if you think about this is clearly not late in the Babli. The 60s early. So not, you talk about third generation. And Rav, fourth generation. But that's clearly, it seems pretty Makubal by fourth generation. So is there a different way of thinking in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Babel and generally in learning? Yes, there certainly is. Now, how much of that is late in Babel? In other words, the different methodologies of interpreting the Chassidim, the Chassidim, the Chassidim, the Chassidim, the Chassidim, that may be a function of the Sun. But I think there are differences earlier as well. And to that extent, I think that the differences that start to develop in the ways of thinking, the ways of learning, start with Rabban Abaye. Starts with Rabban Abaye. The brisker lumbus in the Babli, the conceptual approach in the Babli starts primarily with Rabban Abaye. That's where, so it doesn't begin with the anonymous layer of the Babli. And that's different than in Eretz Yisrael. It's different in Eretz Yisrael, even among Emoran. Why is that so? Why do they think differently? Why? It's a different way of thinking. Right? I don't know. I know when they ask that question, do I think there's something in the water? Yes. I mean, literally or not.
Mm-hmm.
Did I see that, or did you encounter that somewhere else? I don't remember.
I
it sounds vaguely familiar, but... But you're saying that you can't say that because there are more early nurses in trials who are pushing for standard of Shishim. But you can talk, in other words, the idea cannot be something that's uniquely Babylonian idea. You can talk about what makes the more fertile ground for being Miskabel, maybe. But I don't know. It's just a guessing game. But first you have to determine that it wasn't from the Kubal later in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have evidence one way or the other on that. And since we don't have evidence on that, for all we know, the exact same process is happening in Eretz Yisrael. We don't see it one way or the other.
Okay.
I'm not going to take questions now. I know normally we throw questions on Sunday. Perhaps, even tomorrow or Tuesday, depending